I want to thank Brother Mike for this opportunity today. It's not an easy thing to give up your pulpit on a Sunday morning, amen? But I do want to say that it's always a privilege to preach God's word. I want to say today that somebody in here can touch God. Right here, right now, you can touch God. And most importantly, he can touch you. Somebody with me this morning. If you don't mind flipping over to Philippians chapter 3, verses 8 through 10. Is this too loud? Okay. And when you have it, say, I'm there. All right. If you don't mind standing for the reading of God's word this morning. Philippians chapter 3, verses 8 through 10, it says, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. And I want to focus on this part in verse 10. It says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, be made conformable unto his death. Let's pray. Everybody across the building, just lift your hands and begin to worship the Lord today. Father God, we come to you. We thank you, Lord, for this opportunity, Lord. God, I just pray that as we're here in this place, you'll anoint the hearer. God, that you'll soften our hearts, God, that we can hear from your word today. God, that you'd move upon my mind and upon my tongue. Lord, that you would be the one speaking through me today. God, get Jeremy out of the way and let you have your will and your way be done in this place. God, we glorify you and we worship you in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You may be seated. I was a 80s and 90s kid. I know some of you are thinking I've got shirts older than that. And some of you are thinking, wow, he's really old. But people were wearing crazy colors back then. It was the big deal to stand out from the crowd. Whatever you could do to be separated from the crowd was a big deal. I mean, how many 90s babies, 80s, 90s babies do I have in the house? You remember the days that I'm talking about. And then the ones that say I have shirts older than that, y'all shaking your heads going, I remember my kids and grandkids with that mentality, right? I know the mullet is coming back into operation, but back then it was a big deal too. And it was also cool to perm your mullet and to put like lines in the side of your head like lightning bolts. Anybody remember those? Young people, listen up. That's why God decided that I wasn't capable or responsible enough to keep my hair, okay? So be careful. The point I'm making is we did everything we could to try to stand out. But there's a new epidemic going on in society today. It's to conform or to fit in. Come on, somebody. Social media is telling the next generation how to live. And you're not cool unless you did the latest TikTok challenge. Anybody? According to recent studies, 80 to 90% of new converts are turning away from the faith. That means for every 100 decisions, you got 10 to 15 that are keeping on going a relationship with Jesus Christ. Is it because everyone else is doing it? Is it because being a Christian is no longer cool? I don't know how many times recently I've heard, I don't believe in that anymore. You know, I just believe in the universe, and I just put this out there, and I'm going to let it take over. Right? Anybody been hearing this stuff? I have 1,289 so-called friends on Facebook. I see 5 to 10% of them posting scriptures and trying to walk in the ways and statutes of the Lord. Anybody else with me today? You ever notice how there's very few people following God's ways, and there's a lot of people go in the wrong direction. Matthew 7:13 says, enter through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. Today I want to talk to somebody about though none go with me. I believe that if we can grasp this word today, that a personal revival like Brother Mike was talking about last week is inevitable. I believe that if we can grasp this word today, that if one person can grasp this word, that fires will begin to start in different places, and that over and over we'll see personal revival turn into great revival. Anybody? The life of David is a deep and interesting life. How many studied the life of David before? So you know. I'm going to talk about a very familiar story today. I want to talk about David's young life and how he teaches us as believers that if we are willing, God is able. How many of us believe today that God can change any situation that we face? David spent many lonely days out on the ranch as he tended to his father's sheep. As a young boy, he killed a lion and he killed a bear. Just like any other day, he got up expecting to tend to his daddy's sheep. And his father came to him and said, "Son, I bet your brothers are famished. I bet they're tired from battle. I want you to go down the road. I want you to give them some bread, some cheese, and some grain." And David thought, "All right, I get to see my brothers in battle." He got the bread, cheese, and grain, and he took off. And back then, we didn't have text messages. We didn't have Facebook, so word traveled really slow. But when he got there, he heard Goliath taunting God's people. And he finds out that for 40 days and 40 nights, they're being pushed and urged to fear what's coming. He stood and he'd say, "You know you can't beat me." And I believe that his sheer size and his weight were enough to make any man fear him just by looking at him. I believe that some of the men in the ranks may have had to send home for some change of underwear. Come on. But the sad reality of this is that Ed Henson, I read a book that he wrote. He's a professor at Liberty University. And he talked about that most churches today are more like Goliath than they are David. He stated that they're like Goliath because they have equipment and they have experience and they have armor. You see, we trust our size and we trust our budget to make it through. We trust our high-tech equipment and our lights. There's nothing wrong with these things, folks, but I'm here to tell you today that it's not these things that we possess in our hand that's going to get souls saved for the kingdom of God. What is it? It's the Spirit of the living God. When he comes upon us, he said, "If you lift me up, I will draw all men unto myself." When we search in the right places, we find the right answers. So what is it that makes a scrawny little kid a good leader? What set him apart from all the other warriors who were bigger and stronger than him? They all had rank. They had respect. They had armor. They were trained in battle. They knew everything to do, and they knew how to do it well. God's word in 2 Corinthians 10 and 4 says that the weapons that we fight with are not weapons of this world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. Somebody with me today. I want to show you right quick what it is that set David and his scrawny little self apart from everybody else. Flip over with me to 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 13. "And then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord," somebody look at your neighbor and say, "The Spirit of the Lord." The Spirit of the Lord came upon him from that day forward. And so Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. Come on, somebody. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him after that he was anointed with oil. We have to get to the place where our dependency is in life is solely upon the Spirit of God and nothing that is in our hand. You can look right, you can act right, you can talk right, but if you don't have the anointing of the Holy Ghost, you're not going to do anything but sit in the four walls with these brethren and say amen and amen, and you walk out of here and there's no change taking place with the souls that are around you on a daily basis. It's because we don't ask what we already have in our hand. We feel like we have to beg God for more. We say, "God, I'll go do what you've called me to do. If you'll just place a little bit more in my pocket. If you'll just give me a few more resources, Lord. I can do it then, but I can't do it now. David wasn't begging God for more, was he? Come on, does anybody not know the story of David and Goliath? All right, so we're 100%, you're with me. He didn't ask God for more, did he? He wasn't afraid. Many of us will sit back and deny that we're called to go because we're waiting and waiting for different things to come from heaven, such as a booming voice. Naomi, I want you to go and preach the gospel. Oh, and then she might go, right? No, that's why God sent his word. That's why he gave you his word, so that you can get into his word like never before. And you can allow the Holy Spirit of God to come upon you. And as the Spirit comes upon you and you place his word in your heart, you can step out into this world, this old lost and dying world, and things begin to change. Things begin to happen. What did Jesus say? Greater works shall you do. Anybody ever seen greater works? Come on. We want these things to happen before we step out. But I'm here to say that somebody today needs to hear that God will never put more in your hand until you're willing to use what he's already given you. If we won't use what we've been given, then why should he give us more? I've got written in the back of my Bible, my father-in-law is a pastor, and he preached a sermon years ago on the law of reciprocity. It's just like a reciprocating saw. When you put a blade in a reciprocating saw and you saw something, it goes out and it comes back in. It goes out and it comes back in. What God has placed in your care and in your authority, whether it's your children, your finances, your whatever he's given you, he said, you use that for me and then you'll get some more and then you can move to the next thing. But if we won't use what we've been given, why would he give us anything else? David had a staff in one hand, a sling in the other, and a pouch. God cannot show his power unless we leave room for him to display it. If you do something within your own authority, within your own resources, God can't display his power. How many times do we get into situations and we wonder, God, why is this giant standing in front of me, continually taunting me day by day, night by night? Why am I always waking up and looking over the hill and there he is? He's still calling me and he's still calling me different names and he's pointing his finger and laughing at me. It's because God's given you every tool that you ever needed to face that giant and defeat it. But we're not using it. Hallelujah. We have to know something about David, something else about him. Before we face our giants in our life, we have to remember and we have to know that David's prayer life was vibrant and full of spiritual desire. If we want to be the man or woman that God has called us to be, we must be willing to lay down some things that hinder our victory. Come on, somebody, get with me in here today. We open up this sermon today with Paul's writing saying that I count everything as loss, that I might know God and that I might experience his resurrection power. Oh, but I believe today that if you are seeking the face of God, that you will gain victory over the enemy. Amen. How many times are we sitting behind the battle lines expecting those in leadership over us to do the battle on our behalf? There's nothing wrong with calling your pastor and saying, Pastor, I need you to pray with me about something. Absolutely, that's biblical, is it not? He's a shepherd. But I'm going to here to tell you today that you got to get down on your own knees and you've got to begin to cry out to God on your own behalf, because whenever we do and we're full of the Holy Ghost, the Bible says that he will pray things for us to the Father that we can't even utter. Somebody with me today. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise in this place. How tragic is it that all along we could have had power, power, wonder-working power, fighting on our behalf and dwelling in us, but we always appeal to those with a higher rank. Oh, hallelujah. There's a tragedy in the church that says that we can accept Christ and then go on about our daily tasks and act like we no longer need him. I'm here to tell somebody else that when you long after the heart of the Father and you keep an ongoing relationship with him, the giants that you face in your life are going to begin to fall. You see, even when David sinned against God, he had a heart of repentance. He longed for God's presence. Come on, somebody hang with me now. I'm not here to beat nobody up. I'm here to help us understand what it's going to take for us to get from point A to point B, to where that the Spirit of God can begin to use each and every person that's sitting under the sound of my voice this morning. Can you imagine if every person in here was slammed full of the Holy Ghost, that everywhere that you walked and everything that you said and everything that you did was to the glory and edification of Jesus Christ? On your job, at your school, while you're driving down the road, if you're praising and worshiping God and the Spirit jumps on you and you start speaking in tongues and you pull up to a red light and your windows are down, you better not hush because you're afraid to offend your neighbor. If your windows are up at the house and you begin to pray in the Spirit, don't you get offended and don't you get scared because your neighbor might hear you. You pray louder and louder. You let God be glorified and you watch him do the work. One plants, one waters, but who gives the increase? Come on, say it again. Who gives the increase? Flip over to 1 Samuel 17, verses 32 through 37. And David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him." He was talking about that Philistine, that giant that everybody had been so scared of, shaking in their armor, shaking in their boots, scared to death, wouldn't say a word, wouldn't cross the line for nothing, for no man's money. David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight the Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him. Thou art but a youth." And he said, "He is a man of war." See, he's trying to talk him out of it. And David said unto Saul, Thy servant kept thy father's sheep. And there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went after him." He didn't sit idly by. He didn't say, "Oh, well, we have more sheep." Come on, pastor knows what I'm talking about. When the lion comes in and tries to take one of his sheep, you can't sit idly by. When the devil comes after your children, daddy, you can't sit idly by. When the devil's coming after your children through social media and different things of that cell phone, I do not care if my children get mad at me. I will take that phone and I will say, "Look here. This is not of God, and you need to watch yourself and walk in the ways and statute of the Holy Ghost. I'm here to be my children's father. I'm not here to be their friend." There's nothing wrong with being friends with your children, but it can't go past the point where there's no respect. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and I smote him and slew him. Talking about a lion and a bear. Do you think David was able to do that under the unction of his flesh? He did that under the unction and the anointing of the Holy Ghost. We read about it just a few minutes ago when Samuel took the horn of oil and began to anoint him. He anointed him with something that was greater than anything that he ever thought of, anything he could ever imagine. I'm here to tell you today that your ordinary flesh is not what God has called you to. He said, I called you to something greater. I put a new heart inside of you. I gave you a new life. Our old selves are dead, people. God the Father gave you something brand new, and he left you a gift of the Holy Ghost. Why not tap into that power? When the lion and the bear comes against your children, you begin to chase the lion and the bear, and you smote them, and you get your kids back in your house. Even if it looks like all hope is lost, and it looks like your children have left for good, and that they're never coming back to the faith, the word of God is true. And he said, raise your children in the way they should go, and then when they were old, they shall not depart from it. There might be a period of time there where you're getting a little bit worried, but you get on your prayer bones and you say, Lord God of heaven, come in and change this situation on my behalf. Change my children's heart. Change their life, God. Wake them up. Let them see you like they've never seen you before. And David said, moreover, the Lord, this is verse 37, the Lord who delivered me out of the paw of the lion, and the Lord who delivered me out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hands of this Philistines. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee. In David's case, he had a desire to see the will of God come to fruition at all costs. He was willing to sacrifice everything that was in his hand to walk up and look a giant in the eye and point him in his face. He had that in his heart so much so that he went into that valley all by himself. Can you imagine the excitement on the face of Goliath when he saw somebody walking across there? He's like, finally, I get to fight. Don't the devil like to fight? I ain't going to sit here and tell you today to go pick a fight with the devil, but if the devil ever comes across your path, you know you can do just like David did. You can look that giant right in his eye, and you can say, you come at me with a sword and a spear, but I come at you in the name of the Lord. Much to his surprise, it was just a boy. And the Philistine looked about and saw David and had disdain for him. This is verse 42. For he was but just a youth, ruddy and of countenance. Young people, when you're around this altar and you get full of the Holy Ghost, you don't have to fear anything that come against you in the world. He had disdain for him, for he was just a youth. He was ruddy and fair of countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. But because of David's quiet relationship with God, this seemed like a small task. David refused Saul's armor. He went down to the brook and he chose 5 smooth stones. He put them in his pouch and he approached the Philistines. I don't think it's any mistake that in the past 2 weeks, Brother Horton and Brother Chris has mentioned David and Goliath. I was already, God laid upon my heart to speak on this. Then we drove to Oklahoma this week to John Parrish's church and he spoke about David and Goliath. God's trying to tell us something. There's a giant in the land that we call America. And that giant has to fall. But it's not going to fall because you and I just begin to do certain things. It's going to fall because we have a quiet relationship with God, and because way before we ever fought that giant, when we were tending to the Father's sheep, we just began to quietly seek a relationship with him and say, God, Come in, touch my heart. Move upon my mind, upon my spirit and my soul. And you give me strength. Lord, I worship you. One thing I found out while I was at John Parrish's church, something that I missed in my studying this week, is the fact that the way that he was slinging his sling, it was a yada praise. I don't know. I didn't study it out. But a yada praise. And it was like this. That's that crazy praise, Brother John Parrish said. You're going to win battles not only on your knees, but when you begin to praise God with your mouth for what hadn't come to fruition yet. Somebody with me. Faith is the substance of things that are hoped for, but the evidence of things we have not yet seen. Every word that came from Goliath's mouth was about the flesh. I'll feed your flesh to the soles of the air. He was all bark and no bite. Every word from David's mouth was in the spirit. We just said it a while ago. You come at me with a sword and a spirit, but I come at you in the name of the Lord God Almighty, the Lord God of Israel, whom you have defied. All who gather here will know that it was not by the sword or the spear that the Lord saves, but the battle belongs to the Lord. Oh, in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers and against rulers of the darkness of this world and against spiritual wickedness in high places. You're never going to win a battle in your own power. You have to focus on the fact that sometimes you might have to go at it alone. When you're in this building right here, it's easy to come down to the altar and have brethren come and anoint and pray for you. But when you're out there by yourself, sometimes you got to decide, before the battle ever comes, I'm going to stand upon God's word. The B-I-B-L-E, that's the book for me. I stand upon the word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. I don't know which one of us in here needs to get it today. But you got to make up your mind right now which side of the fence you're on and stay on it. There's more giants coming. There's more giants on their way. And if you're not prepared before you face the giant, come on somebody, they're going to grip you with fear and keep you behind the lines shaking in your boots. Daddy, listen up. It's time that we stop showing our children how to stay stuck in a place of fear. We've got to move toward the giants that we face. It's time that we lead by example. And even when those around us may look like they're prepared, some of them are just as fearful as they were in that army. They had all the right tools, did they not? We talked about it. But let us say today that even though nobody goes with me, still I will follow. The last thing today, and then I'm going to let you go. I know y'all are waiting on some chicken somewhere. In 2 Samuel chapter 23, we see the last recorded words of this young boy who fought the giant. He spoke about his mighty men of valor. And before he got into speaking about his mighty men of valor, he had a word from the Lord. Before we get into it real quick, do I have any daddies in the house who want to be a mighty man of valor? Fearless. Walking in the ways and the authority of the Holy Ghost. But whenever David began to speak, his last recorded words, in verse 2 of 2 Samuel chapter 23, the Spirit of the Lord spoke by me. And his word was in my tongue. His word was in my tongue. And the God of Israel said, the rock of Israel spake to me, and he that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God. Daddies, whether you realize it or not, if you have children, you're ruling over men and women. You must rule in the fear of God. And he shall be as a light in the morning when the sun riseth, even a morning without clouds, as a tender grass springeth out of the earth by clear shining after rain. And although my house may not be so with God, come on, somebody ever been there? Your children ever walked away from the faith for a few minutes? Even though my house be not so with God, yet he hath made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure. For this is my salvation, and all my desire, although he make it not to grow. But the sons of Belial shall be with them as the thorns that thrust away. These are the ones that are not walking in the fear and admonition of the Lord. Come on. Because they cannot be taken with hands, but the man that shall touch them must be fenced with iron and the staff of the spear, and they shall be utterly burned with fire in the same place. I don't know about you, but I want to be like a light in the morning to my household. I haven't always been. I stand right here before you, transparent as can be. There's been many times in my household when I wasn't a light. But God began to move upon my heart, and he began to move upon my spirit, and he took that heart of stone and he turned it into a heart of flesh, and he began to do something within me so that I could face the giants in my own life first, and then I could begin to face the giants in my family's life, and then I can go and begin to face the giants at work. Somebody get on in here with me today. Do you need a giant slaying anointing in the house? Chris, if you could come. David went on to talk about each of his mighty men of valor, how they completed great feats of strength. And one thing that we see time and time again is that they went at it alone. Now, I'm not telling you that that's the best scenario today. What I'm telling everybody in here today is that you got to make up your mind that if you have to go at it alone, though none go with me, still I will follow. Would you stand all over the building?